So if you want to give an offering, it's at the door. And I'm going to spare you from an offering song from me. You're welcome. No, you really don't want to. You really don't want to. All right. Just a bit, funny thing quick. So we went home and I was walking on the sidewalk and I just picked up the mail and I tripped almost over something. There was a toy on the floor. And my son, like, after I tripped on me, careful, daddy, there is a toy on the floor. It's like, thank you. Yeah, a little bit too late, but. All right, so let's pray. So, Father, we just praise you. Wow, thank you so much that your love never fails. Father, we can come to you and come to you, and you're always there. You always fill us. You always give us hope. You encourage us, Father. And you give us your life, Father. All things you give us, Father. And we just thank you for that. And just speak tonight to our hearts and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So just a little bit like the interesting times we're living in. So there's a lot debates. Is it the end soon? Is Christ coming back? Like nobody knows. But I definitely think it's a time, at least in my heart, it's really stirring two things. One is really the unity of the believers, which I think is really a time where the church has to come together in the spirit, in his mind, in his truth, and just all superficiency and just like the surface things kind of like, okay, let's go deep together. Let's be serious together. And the other thing that really speaks to me in this time is to have a pure heart before God, to have a pure heart. Because I think that's what it all comes down to. And so the message today is a bit about the heart. And let's get into it. So it's kind of four parts. So first we're going to look on what is the heart. Why is it important? How we can know what is actually in our heart? And then how can we fix it or change it? So what is the heart? This is kind of a thing from Greater Grace. I think Pastor Scheller wrote that down once. So the heart is the premise for all motivational thinking. So all my motives, my thinking starts from the heart. It's a supreme center of communication for all the thoughts of the mind, the decisions of the will, and appropriations of truth. I can give you that later for your note takers. And the third one is, it's the center of operation for behavior. So simply put, like in the heart, what comes, it's our speech, how we speak, how we think, and how we behave. So it all comes from the heart. From the heart we believe. From the heart, we understand. So it all starts there. And so two verses kind of to set the premise for the message. One is Proverbs 4:23. That's the famous that we all know. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So keep or guard your heart. And the issues, it's like life comes out of it. My speech, like we said, my thinking, my behavior comes out of my heart. So what you see me do, how you speak, it comes all out of my heart. And the next verse is Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how my heart thinks, what my heart is, that's who I am. That's how I act. Maybe in position, not always, but at least in my practical experience. What is in my heart, that's who I am. And so it's interesting, because if you think about it, and even in myself, I got convicted, and maybe even with politics, we can even see it more clear. Politics, many times it's about, what do I say? Do I say the correct thing? Is it the right thing that I say? Do I say it in the right way? And I was focusing so much on like, okay, what I'm saying, is it the right thing? Or how I'm acting, is it the right thing? But it's not so much really anymore, what is really in my heart? Like, it's easy for somebody to say, like nowadays, even we as Christian maybe have that, yeah, I will pray for you. And then we go home, drive, and we forget about it. We just say, but it wasn't really in our heart, really. The burden wasn't really in our heart to pray for this person, you know. And so our focus is many times on, okay, what I say, but really our importance should be, what is really in our heart? And to really look at that. And like even another example quick, like I can come to somebody and maybe like, yeah, I love you. But then when I really go before the Lord, I see, man, actually there's some jealousy in my heart towards that person or some bitterness. And I just speak out and I love you and I think I'm okay and I'm not really dealing with really what's going on in my heart. And so the encouragement today is to really go a bit deeper and look what is really in the heart. That's the focus. That's what God cares about. Like we know the story from David. He says when he went to pick all the brothers, he didn't look at the outward appearance, but he looked what was in the heart. So God is not going to be like, oh, you said all these right words. Oh, you did all these good things, but in your heart, you weren't really in it. You, in your heart, that wasn't really my life. And so that's what, like, have a pure heart. That's what really matters before God is our heart. And I mean, the passage that we all know, we can maybe turn that quick, is Matthew 15, 18. Getting there, Matthew 15, 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. So what comes out of the mouth, it comes from the heart, and from the heart maybe it defiles the man. So let's look what is in our hearts. How can we know what is in my heart? Because as we all know, we don't really know our heart, really. And I mean, two verses. One is 1 Corinthians 14, 25. You want to put that up quick? 1 Corinthians 14, 25. And thus the secrets of his hearts are revealed. And it speaks here, Paul was speaking about speaking in tongues or not, but if somebody comes in and they prophesy, they really speak the word, and somebody walks in and he falls down because the secret of his hearts are revealed. But they are secret. He didn't know these secrets before. He didn't know these things were in his heart, but afterwards they were revealed. And I don't know exactly the verse, but even when they were talking to Mary, like the angel that your heart like will be broken, he says, when Christ will lift up, it will reveal what is in people's heart. Like the gospel, the cross reveals what is really in people's heart. And there's many secrets. The heart is deep, which we don't really know. And in Psalm 44, verse 21, it says, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. So how can we know if our heart, if there's so much secret, how can we know what is really in our heart? And I think there's three ways, kind of. One is with our words. What do we speak? What do we think? And it's a bit different than the other one, because I can say something, like we said before, I love you, but actually it's bitterness in my heart. So what I say is not connected to my heart. It doesn't really come from my heart. I just say it as a phrase. But then here in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And you maybe had it at times where somebody ticked you off or something happened in your life and you said things and later you regretted them. But at the same time, you know, wow, what I just said, what ticked me so off, that was maybe in my heart. This thought was before maybe growing in my heart and that was really there, you know. Or I can really sincerely have a burden for somebody and say, hey, I really care for you. I truly will pray for you. But it started from my heart that I said that. So we can, in our words, maybe find out what is really in our heart. And then another thing that God does, which he does it and we don't like it, it's he tests us. And There's two passages. One is in Psalm 66, verse 10. Psalm 66, verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. So God tests us with many different things, like affliction upon our loin, maybe like physical thing. He put mans in our life that kind of run over our heads. It's through fire, through water. But at the end, he does that. Why? To bring us to a wealthy place. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, it's the same thing, the testing again. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. So does God know what's in our heart? It's not, he's not testing us to see like, oh, they're doing that or that, what it's in their heart. It's for us that we see what is in our heart. Like he was to humble them and show them what was in their heart. And then, so by this testing, we find out what's in our heart. And then the last thing where we find out, it's in Hebrews, the famous passage, Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we have the word who discerns what's in our hearts and tells us what is really in our heart. So our heart is deep, but by words we speak, by testing circumstances, people that God brings in our life, and by the word and the spirit, we see God reveals things that are in our hearts. And the funny thing is, so God reveals maybe something is in our heart. Maybe there's a bitterness, maybe there's a pride. And he reveals that. And the first thing that we tend to do is maybe makes excuses. Like, yeah, come on, I'm not so proud. Or that was this person's fault. Or we try to make excuses for it or to rationalize it why there's something wrong. And I just think it's in that we still sometimes have a problem to say, I'm wrong. Like in our natural, when God shows us, hey, you're wrong, our first reaction is, no, but look, that's what happened. Or like Eve, but it was the man that you gave me. Or like, opposite. Adam said, it's the woman that you gave me. And Eve is like, yeah, but the serpent. That's our natural reaction, and it's so, why? Why do we have such a problem to say, yeah, I'm wrong? Why is always this fight against, like he said, we want to establish our own righteousness. No, I'm not so bad. I want to establish instead of like, no, I'm wrong, God. I'm wrong, and not to fight it. And it's kind of interesting, then we have triggers. So God wants to deal with us, and maybe kind of as a picture. So God says, okay, you go to that room. I deal with you. Maybe a child, okay, time out. We're going to have a serious talk. And what we do, we take our key and we know there's a back door. And we take our key in there and like, I don't really like it. Okay, let's go out of the back door. I'm not going to deal with that. It's triggers that are established in our hearts. Like when certain people maybe tick us off or we feel certain emotions, then we go back to these triggers, like, I just want to be alone. I don't want anybody around, and we go there. That's where I'm going to do my own thing. Or I just don't want to think about it. Let's get around people and do things. Or some people may be like, I feel upset. Let's eat something. Like, I just want to eat some chocolate cookies. It's not always bad, but God wants to deal with our hearts, and we have this trigger established, exercise. Actually, if you want to bring up 2 Peter 2:14. So the second part, they have a heart trained in covetous practices. Like a heart can be trained. Like be repeated action, we can train our hearts. Okay, this situation come, God wants to speak to me. I don't want to listen, so I train my heart to get out that door in the back way, you know. And because what we want to do at the end is we want to have self-preservation. We want to preserve ourselves. We want to preserve our old ways because that's what we know to. That's where we have security. That's what I know. I know my old way. I know myself, my own heart. So God, let's not deal with that because here I feel secure. These ways I have established. And we can go further. If we go there, it also gives room for the devil. As we know in Judah, he put it in his heart to betray the Lord. In Ananias, in Acts, to lie to the Holy Spirit, it was the devil put it in his heart to lie to the devil. So the devil can put things in our hearts. When we don't humble ourselves before God, it gives room for the devil to put things in our hearts. And what we do then, it affects our thinking. We think our heart is desperately, like above all things, is deceitful. So that is not so bad. I make a rational explanation why I'm doing these things, and it makes sense in my heart, in my mind, because my heart is hardened. And my heart is hardened against the Lord or against something that he wants to talk to me, my mind doesn't think clearly. And it makes maybe an explanation that doesn't, it's not really true. And now, talked about all our problems, which we have enough of. But I think it's good to know, like, how our heart ticks and how we sometimes work. But then, how can we fix it? How can we fix our evil heart? Like in Romans 7:18 says, in me dwelleth no good things, Paul says. Nothing good is in me. And I have to confess clearly like this, I'm wrong. I don't have a pure heart. I don't have a pure heart. But Christ has a pure heart. Christ's heart is pure. And this two-way, like in Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. So God says, your heart is evil. Like it's desperately wicked, it deceives you. I give you a new heart. God gave us a new heart. And it's not the stone. What is a stone? A stone is cold, it's hard, it's deaf, there's no life in it. But the flesh is warm, soft, and it's alive. And that's what God is. He gave us a totally new heart. And positionally, like our position in Christ, we have it, but practically, we're still kind of dealing with the old and the new heart. And the one thing, what's now on us, what we have to do, it's totally forsake the old. We totally want to forsake the old and embrace the new. You want to forsake the old, like Paul says, like, I think it's in Ephesians, like, put off the old man and put on the new. And so in our heart, that's our thing. Okay, I forsake the old. Like, there's maybe a person, and we know automatically, okay, if that person come in, something in my heart, I just don't have love for this person. And it automatically, my old heart is connected to that person with bitterness maybe, envy, or whatever it is. There's something in my old heart connected to that person. When that person comes in, My old heart reigns again with these emotions towards that person. And what I have to do is, okay, that's my old heart. I have to recognize it by the word and by the spirit and say, okay, that's my old heart. I forsake it. I forsake it. Christ, you gave me the new heart. And in your new heart, there's forgiveness for that person. There is your love that never fails for that person. And so that's maybe a practice. It's by praying, by practicing, but it's like, okay, I forsake that old, and I embrace the new. I embrace the forgiveness. I maybe don't feel it right now, but I know I give forgiveness. I embrace it. And or circumstances, we all know, like things happen in our life and always the same things. Like we all, I think, have that when stress hits our life, we run to the one thing maybe that's not so healthy for us. And we just used to it, but slowly, like we have to learn, okay, when stress comes, some of my old heart has a connection to that stress and it leads me to do that. I forsake that because Christ gave me something new. And in Acts chapter 15, verse 9. And put no difference between us and them. And he speaks about the Gentiles and the Jews. Purifying their hearts by faith. By faith. As we all know, by faith, I trust, okay, God, you gave me that new heart. Christ, you dwell in me. You gave me that new heart, which is clean already. I'm not like the world. Everybody tries to fix their heart. They try to fix something that's not fixable. Like we know in Genesis, where the world was like, there was continue evil, only evil thoughts in their heart. God wasn't like, okay, let's fix that. He brought the flood and destroyed it and started something new. Christ wasn't like, okay, let's fix this sinner. He's like, no, old things have become, oh no. Yeah, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's not like, okay, let's fix it all. He's like, it's done. There's something new. And we still, so many try to fix the old instead of by faith. Okay, I forsake it. It's old. It's gone. And we have it in position. We have to believe it by faith and then practice it in our daily life. Okay, I believe the new that you gave me, Christ. And that's the only way we can get a pure heart. It's not like, okay, I have to pray for 10 hours. I have to do all these good things. No, I believe Christ gave me a pure heart. And I walk by faith in that. I embrace it. And that's how we have the pure heart. Because there's two things also that the old heart, as Pastor Shallow always brings out, has like this hole in it. And it's a lack. In the old heart, something is always lacking. And what we do, we see a lack. Like, okay, I have to supply for that lack, what is missing. I have to supply for that. And we're running. And that's what sin does. Like, okay, sin. And keep sinning, keep sinning. This lack maybe will stop, but it never stops. It never stops in the old heart. The old heart always acts from a lack of something. Lack of security. Lacks of people giving me the love that I need. There's always a lack in the old heart. But the new heart of Christ is full. The new heart of Christ is like, you're filled. There's no lack anymore. You can give. You can give from the new heart. So it helps us to see, do I act out of a lack again? Do I just want to feel like a lack that I have? I may be acting in my new old heart. And it's not putting ourselves, no condemnation. Oh God, I was wrong. I was wrong. You gave me your heart. I come to you. I was running about that, but you feel me, Lord. I trust you. You are faithful. You help me here. It's pretty simple. And so just simply what the Bible, I just thought about, the main thing, one thing that the Bible teaches us, we can't trust ourselves. We can't be trusted, but he can be trusted. The whole Bible is about man cannot be trusted, but he can be trusted. And so with our heart, I don't trust my old heart. It's deceitful, it's wicked, but I trust the new heart that he gave me. I trust when he says he gave me a heart of flesh, he gave me that. And he's going to grow me in that. And so that's my prayer, as the prayer was from Paul in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ dwells in our hearts. His love, his forgiveness, his mind, his thinking. And then, like so many times, I experience it. Like, I thought about something, and I thought I was so right, but then Christ spoke to my heart. He showed me his love in it, and then I thought about it. It's like, wow, I was so off. but I couldn't see it before. But with the new heart, my thinking about it is completely different. Now I see my pride. Now I see I just should have been humble. But before, when I have pride in my heart, I think they are all wrong. You know, so it's so freeing. It's freeing when we can say, I don't trust me, I'm wrong, but you are right. So it fits a bit with the message that Mark, but we don't have to establish our own. Christ gave it to us, and we receive it by faith. And just the last verse in Hebrews 13:9. It's kind of the same as it was that Christ dwell in your hearts by faith. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Our new heart is established in grace. God's grace never runs out. So when we fail or whatever, it's not, we confess it. What is confession? Agreeing with God. Agreeing with God, yeah, you're right, I'm not to be trusted, that was wrong, but you are trustworthy, I agree with you. And I confess, and I'm established in your grace. I don't have to worry. Your grace is greater than my sin. And I'm in the grace. And so that's what I pray for, that we have really in our hearts, that really God does a work and leads us by that. Not so much, of course, there's a lot of semantic, which word was means, well, yeah, we want our heart changed, but in a way we want to forsake our old and embrace the new heart that we have already. It's already given to us. We just want to embrace it. We want to believe it. We want to walk into it. And then daily, situation will come, testing will come, where we have to consciously, okay, that is from the old. I forsake it. And we forsake it and embrace the new. Amen. Sorry, it's a lot of words. But so, wow, God, we just praise you. We're so thankful that you finished the work. You gave us all things, Father, and just pray that we really can go deeper with you in this season, Father. That really wounds that are established in our old heart, things that are established that still have a control over us, Father, that they can be forsaken and that your new heart can take control of it, Father. That your new heart can control our thinking, that your new heart controls our speaking, that your new heart controls our behavior, Father. And it's by your grace, it's what you're giving us, it's because you are faithful and you can be trusted, Father. And help us to receive it by faith, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
God gives us a new heart, and then he calls us to keep it with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. So, but it's a gift and then a responsibility. And by hearing words like this tonight, by drawing near, staying humble, following Christ, that's how we keep our heart with diligence, day in, day out. Is anyone interested? We're going to have at least 15 minutes of prayer. He knows what's coming. Anybody want to stick around for ice cream after prayer? Besides Josh? I'll stick around too. Be the three of us. What's that? Still some ice cream? Good.